And I'm happy to be here and thankful for the encouragement that you give to me on a weekly basis and throughout the week. I appreciate you very much. I encourage you to open your Bibles and follow along with me. Make sure that what you're hearing is in harmony with the Word of God. I'm not the standard. You know that. My opinion will get you nowhere, much less to heaven. And so I'm not going to spend the time sharing with you what I think about the matter and the way I feel about it and how I see it. We're going to talk about what God says as revealed in the Bible. Open your Bibles, if you will, to the book of Genesis chapter 3. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we have a divine record of creation. It's no guesswork where man came from. We're not the product of evolution and billions of years and some accident or some happenstance or anything of the like. But we are here because God, the God of heaven, created us. And all that we can see, you believe that? Are you convinced of that, that God is real and that the God of the Bible is the only God there is, who brought about by the power of His Word the things that we can see today? I hope you believe and are convinced of that. And so we have the divine record of the creation of all things in Genesis chapter 1 and Genesis chapter 2, including man. And God gave instruction to man that of the trees of the garden that they were free to eat, except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And He said, "In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die," Genesis 2:17. Well, if you're familiar with the Bible, as most of you are, you know that man transgressed the will of God. And we read about that in Genesis chapter 3. There's an interesting statement that the devil makes in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 5. When the devil says, "For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." So I put the title on the list of the lesson on the board before you this morning, "God Knows." Satan said, "God doth know." If I were to ask you, what does God know? How would you respond to that? You may say everything. You may say all things. And some scoffers and mockers and those that reject the Bible and reject the fact that God exists would say, "Well, God doesn't exist, therefore He doesn't know anything." But I'm here to tell us that God knows. And I want to point out very simply some things that the Bible says that God knows. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 139, verses 7 through 10, you could even go on to verse 12, he talks about the fact that nothing in us is hid from God. We can't go anywhere whereby we could escape the knowledge of God. God knows all, God sees all. But there's some things specifically that the Bible says that the Lord knows. And I want us to think about those. First of all, in the book of 1 John, chapter 3. You know, a lot of folks may say, "Well, you folks say God knows this and God knows that." Well, you don't have to take my word for it. We're going to get it directly from the Bible. 1 John chapter 3 and in verse 20. "For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth..." What does God know? "God knoweth all things." And so, as you're already aware, the fact... you probably would have answered along these lines, God knows everything. And that's true. The Bible says that He does. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 13, the Bible says, "Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight, but all things are naked," that means laid bare, laid open, "before the eyes of Him with whom we have to do." God sees everything. God knows what you did when perhaps you thought no one else did. Maybe they didn't. But God does. And He knows what perhaps I've done in the past that I thought at the time. No one's going to know about this. But God does. And so let us not fool ourselves into thinking that God does not know and that God does not see, because He knows all things. Number two, in what is referred to as the Jerusalem Conference in Acts chapter 15, notice what the Bible says in verse 18. I hope that you're being a good student of the Bible, not taking my word for what we're talking about. But you're opening up the Bible, getting your eyes on the text and reading it for yourself. In Acts 15, verse 18, the Bible says, "Known unto God All right, so I'm interested in knowing what is known unto God. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. Again, how did we get here? God spoke. God said, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Brought everything into existence. Psalm 19 verses 1 and 2 again affirm that the heavens declare the glory of God and the earth showeth forth His handiwork. Known unto God are all His works. You think we know everything? We don't, do it. But guess who does? All His works. Everything that He's ever done, everything that He's ever purposed, though man may not know about it, known unto God are all His works from the beginning. The psalmist said, I'll declare the wonderful works of God. Psalm 105 and in verse 5. And there's a lot of things that I'll go to my grave not knowing. I don't know it all. Never have known it all. Don't know it all today. Never will know it all. As the Bible talks about, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. Deuteronomy 29:29. So don't fret about things known only unto God. Don't fret about the secret things that's not been revealed. Spend your time studying what has been revealed in the Bible, the Word of God. But also, as you think about things that are known unto God, come over to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. A lot of folks are filled with anxiety over physical things, in a constant state of worry, not knowing what tomorrow holds, and so I'm worried. Worried about physical possessions, worried about material things, worried about all sorts of things that really we ought not be worried about, overly anxious about. I understand we have responsibility and we've got to be concerned about fulfilling our responsibilities, but notice, if you will, in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter 6. And in let's begin with verse 27. Or 25. Let's back up 25. Matthew 6, 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink. Now folks, we're reading the words of Jesus. We get to when we read the Bible, we read what Jesus taught. We get to sit at the feet of the Master Teacher Himself. Take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Now watch this for our point. Verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But, that contrary, to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. God knows what we need. He knows what we need before you even ask Him and petition Him for the things that we need. In the book of Philippians chapter 4, as Paul is talking about the fact that those of Philippi had sent to his necessity, once and again he says in verse 16 of Philippians chapter 4, he says, I don't desire a gift, but I desire fruit that you may abound to your account, that it may abound to your account. But I have all in abound. I'm full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to the riches of His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I promise you that it is a true, tested and tried, and true Bible principle. If you make the necessary sacrifices, God will give the things that are necessary to us. That's what Matthew chapter 6 is teaching. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And so make those sacrifices that God calls upon each of us to make. He knows our need, and He'll supply those needs. Every single day, our cup truly runneth over. I don't care what your circumstance is. I don't care what you're going through and what your struggles are. I don't care what difficult time that we're going through. And we go through difficult times. We know that. But I tell you, if we will sit down and count our many blessings and name them one by one, our cup truly runneth over on any given day. Try it and see. As you think about things that God knows, I'm impressed with the fact over in Psalm 103 that it's stated in that passage, Psalm 103 and then verse 14, "For He knoweth our frame." He remembereth. What does the Lord remember? That we are but dust. Think of that. Doesn't that encourage you? We're not talking about some God that is foreign to man. He created man. The God of heaven that Paul so earnestly preached about in Acts the 17th chapter. It's interesting just to go through and think about the things that Paul points out about the God of heaven. He knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are but dust. Well, how did He know that? Because God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul, the divine record says in Genesis 2:7. So God knows man. He knows what's best for man. I've often said and continue to say that God is God, and I'm not, and the better, quicker off that I understand that principle, the better off I'll be. You're not God either. He knows best, and so let's submit to Him. In Psalm 44, while you're in the book of Psalms, in Psalm 44, verse 21, something else the Bible points out that God knows. Shall not God search this out? Now, He's talking about what He had just talked about in verse 20, that if we've stretched out our hands to strange gods, false gods, man, God knows that. He's saying, shall God not search this out or know this? Now, watch this. For He knoweth. Tell me what He knows. I'm listening. Are you listening? For He knoweth the secrets of the heart. You know, you have no idea what's in my heart except I tell you. I understand that Jesus said, "You shall know men by the fruits that they bear." You don't know what's in my mind except I reveal that unto you. In fact, we don't know what was in the mind of God except God revealed it to us, and they're made known by the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, He talks about. But guess who does know? God. You got some secret things in your life? You got some things going on or maybe in your past that you thought, you know what, that's a secret. And you know, not every secret is along the lines of being bad things. I'm not suggesting that. It can be. But God knows all the secrets of the heart. He knows my thoughts. He knows my emotions. He knows what are certain triggers for Donnie Oliver. And He knows what triggers your emotions. God knows. He knows it all. In Luke 16:15, and over that idea is just reiterated in the Bible. The fact that God knows all, that God knows the heart, and the things that we're talking about. In Luke 16:15, He said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men, But God knoweth your hearts. For that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. You know, the Bible says, as man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Careful about your heart. God already knows. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 1, when after Judas, by transgression, had fell and went to his own place, the apostles were numbered at 11, and now there came time that he was going to be replaced, and they prayed unto God, or given their lots, and said, Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men, show whether of these two Thou hast chosen. They gave forth their lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias, and he's numbered with the 11 apostles. Isn't that something? Thou, Lord, which knoweth the hearts of all men. But also, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and in verse 19, as we continue thinking about God knows. God doth know, the devil said. Well, yes, God knows a lot of things. And we're pointing those out very simply. In 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and notice verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. What's this? Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. I ask you this morning, are you one of His? Are you a child of God? Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? You might be born again into the family of God. God knows. You know, there's people that I meet along the way, and you meet along the way, and many of them we don't get an opportunity to talk to, and I may never know whether or not they're a Christian. But guess who does? God. I may not know whether or not you've obeyed the gospel of Christ, except I talk with you. But guess who already does? God. And guess who knows His children, those that are His, and will never leave or forsake them? God, Hebrews chapter 3 and in verse 5. Ephesians 3 and in verse 15 talks about the family of God. Look at that passage with me, Ephesians chapter 3. And in verse 15, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. I appreciate the family that I'm a member of physically. I appreciate my children. I appreciate my wife. I appreciate my extended family. I'm sure you do yours too. But we can be in a family that transcends every relationship of a physical nature that we could ever have. I've met people and grown to love people, brothers, sisters in Christ, that I'm convinced our relationship will last as long as time does. Till I'm no more, they're no more. We have a Father who cares about us and knows about us and knows our needs and what is best for us. We have a brother, a Savior, Christ Jesus the Lord, and a number of saints without number, known only unto God. Two more points from the same passage. 2 Peter chapter 2 and in verse 9. 2 Peter 2 and in verse 9. The Lord knoweth. Well, as we know, Peter, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations. Let's stop right there. In James chapter 1, the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted of God, or tempted rather, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So it's God, not God that is doing the tempting. But we're tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust and enticed. We can't say God made me do it. God put it before me. God does not tempt man with evil. But this passage says that the Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation. God doesn't put it before us, but He sure knows how to deliver us from it. That's stated in a similar vein in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13 when the Bible says, "For there is no temptation taking you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, and will with the temptation also make a way to escape." So God knows how to deliver me, you, and all other godly people from temptation. But the verse also goes on to say, and how to reserve the unjust. Unjust for what? What does he know when it comes to that? Reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. I want you to know this morning that if you're godly in the household of God, you're godly, you're one of His children, you obeyed the gospel of Christ, He knows how to deliver you from temptation. If you hear this morning, you're ungodly. You've never obeyed the gospel of Christ. You're living for the devil and not for God. He knows how to reserve you for the day of judgment to be punished. I don't believe you want that. I know I don't. The Bible says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. That's what will happen to those who know not God and refuse to obey. Maybe you're here this morning having never obeyed the gospel, but you say, "Preacher, today's the day that I'm going to do it. What must I do to be saved?" Well, it's simple. You do what they did in New Testament times to be saved. By hearing the gospel, Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Believing it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said, "Except you believe that I'm He, you shall die in your sins." John 8:24. Turning from your wicked ways, turning from sin, changing your mind about it results in a change of life. Jesus said, "Except you repent, you shall likewise perish." Luke 13:3. Confessing your faith before those present this morning, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38, where the blood of Christ will wash away your sins. Revelation 1:5, rise to walk in newness of life. Romans 6:1-6. Being added by the Lord Himself to His church, the church of the New Testament, the church of Christ. Acts 2:47. Maybe you have done that, but you've turned from the Lord. You're not serving Him like you should, and you realize that you've come to yourself and you want to be restored. You want to come home and start anew. Repent of your unfaithfulness. Make confession unto God in prayer. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.